Okay, what I'd like to do today is take you through an overview of water demand and availability in WA. I'll talk first about water demand growth, historic growth, past, present and future, then break that down by sector, and then look at the breakdown by the different regions of the state. Then I'll just do a quick overview, pick up from where Ed was in his talk, talking about climate change and its effect on water availability in WA, and then focus on some pressure points in WA, particularly the priority regions that emerge from that, and then talk about the government, the Department of Water's response and other agencies like the Water Corporation's response in terms of water planning, and then just draw some conclusions, pull that together at the end. Okay, so this graph shows historical water use in WA since the 1900s, so about 100 years of growth in WA. So the blue line shows you the historic growth to date, and you can see that it's nearly exponential. In WA, water use has been growing almost exponentially. The red line shows you the projections into the future to 2030, and you can see that the projections that we've generated, and I'll talk a bit more about those projections in a minute, show the continued strong growth till about 2015, 2020, and then that slowing a little from there for the other 10 or 15 years out to 2030. The graph also shows the growth in demand for water against population growth, just to give you a feel for the way the growth in demand for water is actually outstripping population growth. And that's an indication of major sectors such as irrigated agriculture and mining in particular that are growing faster than the rate of population growth. Okay, let's just look at a breakdown of that water use in WA. This is best estimates for the current year, 2008, of how that water use is broken down. In WA, it's dominated by irrigated agriculture and the mining sector. Irrigated agriculture sitting around about 42% and mining about 27%. That's then followed by households at 16%, commerce and industry at around 12%, and public open space at around 3%. The percentage of that total breakdown for the mining sector is pretty unique in Australia. That's it's currently sitting at 27%. That's much larger than other states in Australia. Most other states are dominated by agriculture, irrigated agriculture. And you'll see in a minute that the rate of growth of mining in WA is very rapid, and again, much greater in other parts of Australia. Okay, looking at the growth in sector water use in WA, the diagrams here show you the growths in each of the sectors of agriculture, mining, households, commerce, industry, public open space for three time periods. The blue shows you the current the use as of 2000. The red bars show you the growth to what it is now in 2008. And then the yellow bars show you the growth to 2030. What you can see looking at that, then you get some indication of the recent boom times, if you like, say from 2000 to 2008, by each of the sectors. And then with the projected growth from 2008 to 2030 for each of those sectors. Now, the Department of Water has developed a statewide demand projections and availability tool to try and estimate these demand projections. Because WA has such a strong growth historically and in the future, we've done a fair bit of work in recent years to develop a projections tool to really kind of keep on track of this growth by both sectors of use and development regions. Let's just look at the agricultural sector. The recent growth, that is from 2000 to 2008, has been very strong at around 23%. And there's continued strong growth predicted to 2030. So that's an additional 33% in the agricultural sector to 2030. In the mining sector, we have very strong recent growth of 43% in the last 8 years. And the projection from 2008 to 2030 is for a further 71% growth in that demand for water. That's pretty well unprecedented in Australia. In commerce and industry, the growth is still strong. Over the last 8 years, it's been about 40%, and we expect that to continue at about 40% into the future. Okay, now these projections are, of course, done a few months ago, and the recent financial crisis hasn't been factored into these. It's difficult to know whether that's a temporary aberration, as it was with the Asian financial meltdown in the late 90s, or whether this is a significant event which will affect these numbers. But these are long-term estimates for growth, and as I said before, they do factor in a slowing of growth after around 2015-2020. Okay, let's just look at the breakdown by 2030. These projections indicate that the mining sector will increase significantly to nearly a third of all water use by 2030. Agriculture, despite pretty strong growth, would then reduce to about 37%. So the mining is starting to approach agriculture as the largest user of water in WA. A lot of that will be driven by mine dewatering in the Pilbara. So it's not for process use, it's more for mine dewatering, but it's still an extraction of water out of the natural environment. Okay. I'd like to just turn now and just look at the breakdown of the water use across WA by different regions. So this diagram shows you the 19 demand sub-regions identified across the state that we're using for the demand projections tool. And these are grouped within 9 regional development regions, which we're developing regional plans for, and I'll come back to those in a minute. Now, the demand projections tool is developed around the Monash economic model, and it looks at both two key drivers for the use of water across WA. One is population growth in certain industries, particularly domestic use and so on, and the other is economic activity, value-added economic activity. So it's dealing with a series of, taking on board a series of scenarios and high, medium and low scenarios and seeing what they will do in terms of water use across WA. What I'm showing you is just the medium demand scenarios. The high and low demand scenarios are about 10% above and below those. Okay, let's just look at regional growth by each of the 9 regional development regions across WA. Now, these are what I'm showing here is the current levels of water use, total water use, public and private, or across all sectors, in the blue at 2008, and then the projected growth to 2030 in the red. So you can see the major sectors are the Kimberley, Pilbara, Perth, Peel, and South West. So let's go through those each in turn. The Kimberley is obviously dominated by the Ord, large-scale irrigated agriculture in the Ord, and our projection for there is probably, if anything, underestimating the growth in water demand in the Ord. The recent financing for regional growth and so on of the new government may well accelerate the rate of irrigated agriculture in the Ord region, and it could even be a doubling of current levels of use by 2030. In the Pilbara, we're looking at very strong growth in water demand, particularly for mine dewatering. And we're seeing in the timeframe of 2030 that the Pilbara will overtake the southwest as the third major user of water in WA. In terms of the Perth Peel, the Perth-Peel region is the largest water using region in WA, and the projections indicate pretty strong growth in the future, but the capacity for meeting that growth, particularly in the private sector, private water use in the Perth-Peel region is limited. We're starting to reach limits to water availability, particularly under a drying climate, in the Perth region. The southwest has been experiencing pretty moderate levels of growth and expected to grow at a moderate rate over the next 20 years or so, but they are certainly approaching limits to surface and groundwater availability in the southwest. Okay. I'd like to just now pick up from where Ed left off on the climate change and just very briefly talk about the effect of that in the southern WA and then talk a little about the Pilbara. So these diagrams show, in terms of rainfall reductions predicted by 2050 for southern WA, and these predictions indicate something like a 2 to 20% reduction in rainfall for southern WA, particularly on the western margins of of southern WA, the west coast side. And interestingly enough, the south coast seems to be more resilient in terms of climate change and may hold up, and its change is likely to be a lot lower. But certainly from Augusta Margaret River right through to Perth and north of Perth, we're looking at pretty strong further reductions in rainfall. Now, looking at the effect of that on stream flows in southern WA, again, we're seeing stream flow reductions by 2050 of between 12 and 50%, 12% in the south coast area through to 50% around Perth and north of Perth. And we've got similar reductions in, not quite so bad, but similar reductions in groundwater. Just like to talk now briefly about the Pilbara, because it's a crucial part of the state with strong demand, extraction of water use into the future. In terms of the effect of climate change in the Pilbara is a little bit different to the southern WA. The predictions so far are that there will be less frequent but more intense cyclones, particularly in the Pilbara. Now, because cyclones drive groundwater availability and groundwater recharge in the Pilbara, which is the major conventional source of water in the Pilbara, what's crucial to supply reliability is the dry spells between the cyclonic events. And this diagram indicates the stream flow in the Fortescue River, driven by major cyclonic events over the last 30, 40 years. Now, this is taken at Gregory Gorge, which is just downstream of the Millstream Aquifer, which is the major groundwater aquifer in the Pilbara. So you can see, even under current conditions, we get some quite long dry spells of sometimes 8 years, 6 years, often get a three-year spell of no major recharge events in the Fortescue River. With climate change, the duration of those dry spells is likely to increase, and that has important downside effects on supply reliability. Okay, so to bring that together, looking at the combination of demand growth projections and water availability in the various regions under climate change, these are the standout priority regions that we need to be paying attention to. In the north, you've got the Kimberley, which has, as I mentioned before, significant growth in irrigated agriculture and pressures for, that's in the Ord, and pressures for further irrigated agriculture in other parts of the Kimberley. You've got the Pilbara with significant mining demand growth combined with decreasing supply reliability. You've got the Midwest with significant mining and agricultural demand growth occurring. You have Perth Peel with significant public and private demand growth, but very limited groundwater and surface water availability in the Perth region. And in the southwest, you've got strong demand growth and reducing water availability. So in response to that, the State Water Plan last year set out some long-term water policy objectives and a water planning framework, which you see presented here. So it sets out, underneath the State Water Plan, a strategic level of planning which envisage regional water plans in those nine regional development commission areas I mentioned before, accompanied by strategic water issue plans, such as the Nangarra Sustainability Strategy that Ed touched on before, and also strategic water user plans, such as the Water Forever strategic plan that the that the Water Corporation is preparing for the IW Integrated Water Supply System. Sitting underneath the regional water plans are the Department of Water's water management plans, which get into more detail on a more local scale. In particular, the water allocation plans are critical to managing our way through this sort of fairly serious issue of strong demand growth against declining water resources in many areas. Okay, I'd like to just pick up then the three regional water plans that the Department of Water is focused on at the moment. As the Minister mentioned, the South West Regional Water Plan was released for public comment as a draft in June, and we received some very strong response to that, some very, very strong interest, and we're working through the comments that have come from that draft plan and looking at revising that plan early next year. The diagram there that comes from the draft regional water plan indicates at a very, very high level, very coarse level, how water availability is matched against demand and projected demand. So you can see that current water level use is around about 500 gigalitres across the whole region, growing to around 700, 750 gigalitres with unmodified demand. Against conventional surface and groundwater availability declining from a little over 800 gigalitres to something like a bit over 600 gigalitres by 2030. So even in a region which is reasonably well endowed with conventional surface and groundwater resources, we are faced with a tight situation in the future. So in the strategy, an important part of the draft regional plan is a key focus on water efficiency gains across all sectors of around 20%, which would mean that by 2030, demand would still be below conventional surface and groundwater availability. The other key objectives that have come out of the plan are enhancing and strengthening water security. As I've mentioned, wise water use and recycling, the protection of ecosystems, water quality, and the importance of planning and managing our resources sustainably. Okay, moving on to the Pilbara Regional Water Plan. The draft plan is being finalised now and is due to be released next month for a period of public comment. The key themes that have emerged out of that plan are pretty similar to the southwest, really. Water supply security, a crucial issue, particularly for the schemes on the coast. Efficient water use and recycling, particularly in the mining industry. The importance of protecting, at the same time, rivers, aquifers and wetlands. And the importance of also protecting water-dependent Aboriginal cultural values. In terms of the Perth Peel Regional Water Plan, we're working on that right now. We envisage that being released early next year as a draft for public comment. The key themes emerging out of that are around the issues of climate change and that effect on supply reliability and supply security. The importance, again, of water use efficiency and getting particularly recycling, much greater use of recycling in the region. The importance of protecting waterways and wetlands in a drying situation. And the urban corridor frontal development and managing that through the implications of that on the water resources. Okay, so just pulling together some conclusions. So what we've seen is some of the challenges for WA. We've got a booming economy, which is accelerating the demand for water across all sectors, accompanied by, in parallel with, climate change, which is reducing conventional surface and groundwater availability in South Estate and supply reliability in the Pilbara. So the water balances across the state between demand and supply and availability are shifting and reasonably rapidly, and that's putting pressure on a number of key parts of the state. In terms of responding to that, the Department of Water is doing strategic proactive planning, as is the Water Corporation and other water service providers. I guess another response is that proponents seeking new access to water for new developments and so on cannot assume that water is going to be available. They have to identify and address water needs of their project early in the piece and not at the back end of their project development. There's going to need to be an increased adoption of non-conventional climate-independent sources, particularly desalination and recycled water, an increase focus and adoption of water use efficiency, and the use of market and regulatory mechanisms to drive the required changes. Okay, I'll leave it there. Thank you.